upset of the week, lock of the week. We got so much to talk about. The 49ers and the Cowboys. And again, you know, we're talking about a Dallas team that is really banged up. And when you think about this opportunity for the 49ers, and I really mean this, if they do not win on Sunday, when are they going to win? I mean, Tyron Smith, their left tackle, is questionable. He's got tightness in his back. Dez Bryant is officially questionable. He has not practiced during the week. I'd be surprised if he plays. You got Orlando Scandrick, doesn't look like he's going to play. Bryan has said publicly that he will play it safe with the injury. Well, if you're going to play it safe with the injury, then you're not playing. That's how I look at it. I mean, again, you could not have the table set any better than the San Francisco 49ers have it set right now. Period. I mean, again, Bryant questionable. Scandrick did not play last week, questionable. Jack Crawford, shoulder. Right tackle, Doug Free with quadriceps. I mean, now questionable, we know what that means, 50-50. And a lot of guys that are questionable end up playing. But I don't see it. I do not see it. So give me your thoughts at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We're trying to hook up with Rick Gosselin from the Dallas Morning News. And so when we do, we'll get him on. Let's get to Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Grant. I just wanted to tell you my experience that I had at the Golden One Center for the first time on Wednesday with the drive. I was out there with Carmichael, Dave, and Katie. And all I can say is, like you've been saying all the time, that arena is probably the best I've ever seen, because – that's like the first arena I've been to. I haven't been around like you have, but to see an arena like that, it just blows me away as a fan. And I'm very proud as a Sacramentan that, you know, we get to see something like this every day, you know. And I'm just looking forward to the upcoming season. This should be a very fun season for us Kings fans. I'll be at Fan Fest on Saturday. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to a very fun and exciting season, and see you as well.
Amen. Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate the phone call. 339-1140, and again, 800-920-1140, 339-1140, and 800-920-1140. Somebody said, Grant, stop the insanity. Cowboys will win because they are the better team, period. Well, I don't agree with you. I don't think they are a better team with all their injuries. If those guys that I just mentioned don't play, I don't think they're a better team. Now, when they're healthy, they're a better team. But, you know, to me, if Dez Bryant does not play, and I don't think he is going to play, the 49ers defense completely changes their game plan. They don't have to double Dez Bryant. They don't even have to worry about Dez Bryant. They can focus more on the rush. And to me, if you're able to do that, you got a great chance of beating the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm not so sure I agree with you there. I don't think with all their injuries, they are a better team. The Mets, by the way, have gone ahead of the Phillies 2-1, top of the fourth. And they got two out and two on. So the Mets have already scored twice. And again, they lead by the score of 2-1. The Cardinals game is going to be starting momentarily, so I'll update you when any runs are scored there. All right, let's get to John. You're on with Grant Napier. Hi, John. What's up, John?
John, this is Matt.
Matt, what's up, Matt? Says John. I'm sorry, what's going on, Matt?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about what Theismann said about Belichick in New England, saying that he's the best coach in the NFL.
Yeah, most people would agree with that.
I have a big problem with that. Back in 2002, when the Raiders got cheated from the
stop it! Would you go away? Would you please? I'm not going to deal with that nonsense. We're going to go back to 2002. Take a poll. Most people in the NFL will tell you Bill Belichick's the best coach in the National Football League. Stop it, would you? We're going to go back to 2002. Come on. All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Don't forget, big college game tonight in about an hour. Stanford, Christian McCaffrey, Jake Browning, the Washington Huskies. It is getting underway in about an hour. Primetime game, Friday night, up in Seattle. And it should be a dandy. All right, let's get to Adam. Adam, you're on with Grant Napier. Go ahead.
Hey, Grant, I had a question for you. Do you have any rhyme or reason why they would have gotten rid of the problem of listing for injured players?
Whoa. You cut out a little bit. Any rhyme or reason on what now? Adam?
Yeah.
All right, you're going to have to repeat. You cut out. Is there any rhyme or reason or what on what?
Why they got rid of the probable listing for injured players in the NFL.
Again, I'm having trouble hearing what you're saying. You're going to have to call back when you get a better line. I can't understand your question. All right, if you want to get in, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. The Mets are done in the fourth. That ball game now going to the bottom of the fourth. And the Mets just scored twice, and they now lead the Phils by the score of 2-1. The Mets 85-74, the Giants 84-75, and the Cardinals a game back of the San Francisco Giants. Final weekend, good stuff going on. American League, they're playing in the rain in Boston. They're playing in the rain in New York, but they're playing. Major League Baseball's got to get these games in. Sloppy conditions. It's now just misting, but it is misting badly in New York. It is just a nasty, nasty atmosphere in New York and Boston for the Blue Jays, Red Sox, and the Yankees and Orioles. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. All right, we've been talking a lot about the 49ers and Cowboys, and you know, the question for Dallas right now, who's playing and who's not, we don't really know, and Rick Gosselin, Cowboys insider and host for the Dallas Morning News, joining us here on the Grant Napier Show. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing better than the Cowboys are these days.
Yeah, I mean, I just went over the injury list, and officially Dez Bryant is questionable, but wouldn't you be surprised if he ends up playing?
Yeah, and that's what they've been writing here, that he's not going to play. Both here and Tyron Smith, both Pro Bowl caliber players,
wow,
left tackle. And, Brian, I wouldn't expect either one of those guys to play. I mean, he's got a fracture right at his kneecap there.
Yeah. Well, here's the other deal. I mean, you know, they've got to play the Eagles twice. They've got their divisional games. My point is,
right,
you know, listen, the season's still young. They're 2-1, so they can't afford to lose Dez Bryant. If the knee gets hurt more by playing early, then they're screwed.
Yeah, and Dez has said that he's going to be smart about it, and he's going to be cautious about it. And I wouldn't expect him to play. It makes no sense. You got your bye coming up. You know, and the tough part is going to be back half of the season. You get to 9-10 wins, you should win the division. So you're better off having a healthy Bryant for
yep,
the last 7 or 8 weeks than you are trying to push him through with us.
All right, how big of a loss? How big of a loss is it not to have Tyron Smith on the field at left tackle?
Well, the guy replaced him last week had two 10-yard penalties. This guy is an elite blocker, Pro Bowl blocker, and they don't have anybody in that. In that ilk right now. They'd probably have to give whoever is on that side help. It's probably Chaz Green. He's been their swing tackle at this point. But they're going to need to help him out. He's a guy that hasn't played. He lacks experience.
You know, when I look at the Dallas Cowboys, you know, the big question mark coming in because of all the suspensions was defense. The defense really has been better than I thought. I'm not ready to grade them out as an A+, but I mean, I they've been playing better than I thought. What are your observations after 3 weeks about the Cowboys' defense?
Well, I ran it in a little bit. They haven't been on the field. They've done a great job. They've done what they had to do is control the football and keep the defense off the field. The defense is averaging 25 minutes a game, so they're not being exposed. And each of the last 2 weeks, they've given up a 300-yard passer. The Bears had the ball for 25 minutes and threw for 317 yards, had 400 yards. Redskins had the ball for 20. The Giants had the ball for 23 minutes, had 350 yards. They lack playmakers, and they lack the pass rush. That being said, that's why they drafted Ezekiel Elliott. Have a running game, wind the clock, control the ball, keep the defense off the field, and that's what they've done for the first 3 weeks. Their leading career sacker on the active roster right now is a cornerback, Orlando Smith, and he's their best cover guy.
Right, right.
So they just don't have a pass rush, and they lack playmakers. If you don't have a pass rush, your secondary gets exposed, and that's what happened these last couple weeks.
Elliott obviously had trouble running in week one against the Giants, and we talk about, you know, being able to make sure you hold on to the football. How would you grade him out after the first 3 weeks of the season?
He's gotten better each week. 51 yards the first week, 81 the second. and then last week 140. They really pounded it. But let me say this. The first week they played the Giants, who have a good defense. The second week they played the Redskins, who are lesser. And the last week against the Bears, who are missing their four best defensive players, they're woeful. So he's not really faced an elite defense. And there are a bunch of them coming up on a schedule. We're going to see what kind of back he is. But that said, they are committed to him. They would like to give him the ball 25, 30 times a game. I'd be shocked if he doesn't get it that much this time if Bryant doesn't play. It's going to be very difficult if Bryant doesn't play because they don't have a downfield threat. And right now, they're not forcing. Dak Prescott is not forcing the ball to Bryant. He'll throw the ball underneath, and he's done that with great success to Cole Beasley and Jason Witten. But they're not going to beat you with underneath passes. And without Bryant, they're not going to beat you long. I'd be shocked if the Niners don't pack the box and try to jam the receivers and take away the short game, make Prescott throw the ball down the field.
Rick Osselin, the Cowboys insider host for Dallas Morning News. I know you've already dealt with this, but we don't deal with it out here in Northern California. But we know the narrative. When Tony Romo's good to go, he's going to be starting, period. But, you know, we always say, what if? And I know that it doesn't matter what if. Tony Romo's going to be playing. But what would it be like in Dallas, Texas, with all the Cowboy fans if when Tony Romo comes back, let's, for sake of argument, say, you know, the Cowboys are in first place or they've got six or seven wins and three losses or whatever the case may be. What will the narrative be in Dallas at that point in time?
I think it'll be fairly split. I think a lot of people will realize Dak Prescott is the future. And if you put him on the field for a whole year, his whole rookie year, he'll make a quantum leap in his second year. That said, they've got so much money tied up in Romo. He's got three more years after this.
Wow.
In excess of $20 million. I mean, if he retired tomorrow, they'd have to carry on the roster for 2 years because they couldn't afford the cap hit. Secondly, he and the head coach are best friends. And I've told people here, until Dak Prescott gets on an airplane with Jason Garrett and flies to a Duke basketball game, Tony Romo is a quarterback.
That is absolutely hilarious. You talked about the schedule, boy. Niners, you got Cincinnati at home, then at Green Bay, and a bye week Philly. So, you know, I mean, health's obviously very important. But when you look at the schedule right now, these next several games are going to be huge for the Dallas Cowboys, especially when we look at how well Philadelphia's played. And I don't, October 30th is the first time the Cowboys will see the Eagles. So your overall grade on the Cowboys, a little bit better than you thought with everything considered? Or, I mean, what's your overall look after 3 weeks with the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, you're 2-1. You're starting a rookie fourth-round quarterback. That doesn't happen. Fourth-round quarterbacks don't start on opening day. And to be in 2-1 and play as well as he played, he's not turned the ball over in three games.
Amazing.
He's at 99 consecutive passes, no interceptions. He's making plays with his legs, something that Romo won't be able to do. I mean, he's not been the problem. When they lost the Giants, I wrote that the team let him down. He played well enough to win. Because you're asking a rookie quarterback, what do you do? Don't lose the game. And he's not done that in all three of the first outings. So I think that's what they want to do is don't lose the game to the 49ers. I think it'll be far more competitive than the Cowboys expect with Bryant out. But if Prescott doesn't turn the ball over or make any mistakes, then the Cowboys can be tough to beat.
As, you know, you made a great point. I mean, you think about that. A guy that's taken in the fourth round that's started three games in the National Football League that hasn't made a mistake, that just says so much about this kid's poise. And, again, you talked about, you know, if he could play the whole year, boy, if you get your crystal ball out and barring injury, you look at where he could be 2-3 years from now, boy, he could be something else, couldn't he?
Yeah, that's – and I would – if they're sitting there at 5-2 or even you know, 6-3, I'd be hard-pressed not to leave him on the field. And I'll take you back to 2001. The Patriots signed Drew Bledsoe in March to a 10-year, $100 million contract. He got hurt three games into that. They put Tom Brady on the field, and after six games, they decided, we're sticking with Brady. They made a decision that was in the best interest of that football team. If Dak Prescott has his team at 5-2 or something like Brady
right.
had the Patriots, you know, how do you not leave him on the field? Why can't your future be the present? You know, the biggest jump a quarterback makes is between his first and second year. If you give this kid game 16 games, let him see all he needs to see on an NFL field, he'll be a much better quarterback next year, and he is the future. He is far beyond what they thought they were drafting. This team tried to trade up in the first round to get Paxton Lynch. They tried to trade up in the fourth round to get Connor Cook, and they almost took Prescott by default and had Romo and Kellen Moore not gotten hurt, he'd have opened the season as the third quarterback as an inactive. And here he is. He's the answer to their prayers.
The only thing, and I want to ask you, because it's only three games, and now we're talking about an injury with Dez Bryant, so we don't know how long he's going to be out for. But you know how, you know, the Cowboy hierarchy and Tony Romo, the one thing he did, he got the ball to Dez Bryant. And somehow, you know, he made sure that Dez Bryant was a huge part of the game plan. How important is it for Dak Prescott to be able to start doing that with one of the best receivers in the National Football League to appease the people that are ultimately going to make these decisions? Obviously, Jerry Jones. But, I mean, Dez Bryant's got to get involved in the offense, correct?
Correct. And what happened in the opener? They told Prescott, whatever you do, don't beat us. Don't make a mistake. Don't force anything. So he threw 26 passes underneath to Beasley Witt and threw five passes to Bryant. Four of them were overthrows on long passes.
Right.
Either he was going to get it or no one was going to get it. The second week, they started throwing a few more balls, and last week he had a 100-yard game. So now they're getting more confidence in Dak. Dak's getting more confidence in himself. And I think if Bryant was here, you'd see him throw the ball down the field. You know, there's a comfort level that's developed now because this kid makes good decisions for a guy who's a fourth-round draft pick. And I think if Bryant played this week or plays in the near future, he's going to be a big part of what they do. He makes Elliott a better running back. He forces the defense to get back on its heels a little bit, and that helps the running game.
Great stuff. I think it's going to be a very tight game on Sunday. I mean, I'm looking at – right? I mean, listen, if the Niners do not play competitively against the Dallas team that's as banged up as they are, then they're not – I mean, listen, I know they sucked last week up in Seattle, but, I mean, Gush, if you're San Francisco, you couldn't have the table set any better than you have this week. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, this isn't Seattle's defense. I mean, if you can't move the ball against this defense,
right,
you're going to be up for a long year. They don't have – I mean, they're a defensive line. They got a third-round draft pick. They got a couple guys that were waiver claims. They don't have playmakers in the front seven. You can run the ball on them. And I think with Carlos Hyde, I think they are going to run the ball on him. And what the Niners have to do is do what the Cowboys have done. They got to control the football. They got to run it. They got to keep the Cowboys' offense off the field. If the 49ers control the ball for 31 minutes, I think they'll win this game.
Final thing for you. I love Jason Witten. I just marvel about him year in, year out. He's just a consummate professional. I'd love to have him on my team or any other team. The guy is just great. Has he even slowed down a little bit? I mean, every time I see him, he's out making plays. Where's he at right now in his career in your eyes?
Oh, he's at the back end. I mean, he doesn't get anything after the catch anymore. If he catches 11-yard pass, it's 11-yard gain. What he gives them is dependable hands. If it's third and six, he can get you the six. If it's third and 10, he can get you the 10.
Right.
He's not going to run the seam routes that he ran, you know, 5 and 6 years ago. But still, he's a quality set of hands, a trusted set of hands, and that's basically what has made Prescott so successful. The fact that he's got Witten and he's got Beasley, that he can throw them the ball and they're going to catch it.
Rick, great stuff. Really appreciate you coming on the show. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. See you this weekend.
All right, take care, man. That's Rick Goslin, Cowboys insider and host for the Dallas Morning News. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140. And 800-920-1140. Let's get to Vince. You're on with Grant Napier. Hey, Vince.
Hey, how you doing, Grant? I have two questions for you, and I'll take them off the air.
Yes.
First question, do you think the Eagles are for real, or do you think it's just a matter of time for the NFC East catches up with them?
I think they're for real.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think they're for real. What they did to Pittsburgh showed me that they're for real.
Okay, well. And second question, do you think Kaepernick is hurt, or they're just not going to play him at all, or do you think they're really sticking with Gabbert?
A little bit of both, and thank you for the call. I think that in Chip Kelly's eyes, he's got the best quarterback playing, but I got to believe Chip Kelly when he says he's not, you know, 100% ready to go yet. My personal feeling is the 49ers really aren't good enough, so it really doesn't matter who the quarterback is, but I would say this, if Blaine Gabbert has a bad first half this week against Dallas, why wait? You know, you got to try something else, don't you? Even though I don't think that's the reason for them being 1-2. But if you can't move the ball against the Dallas Cowboys, then as the gentleman Rick Goslin just said, who covers the Cowboys, then you got some major issues. Because the Cowboys defense is not very good. Not very good. Update on some baseball scores. The Mets continue to lead the Phillies by the score of 2-1. That ball game has gone to the bottom of the fifth. Meanwhile, in the top of the first, the Pirates have a man on second and two out. Again, no score early on in that game as we keep you up to date on the Cardinals and the Mets as it relates to the Giants, who will take the field tonight, game one of the three-game set against the L.A. Dodgers. All right, folks, we will take the break. We'll come right back as the Grant Napier Show continues on Sports 1140 KHTK. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Somebody wants to know why they got rid of probable in the NFL. I'm not sure. You know, probably because just about everyone that was probable always played, but I don't know why they got rid of probable. You know, that's a great question. And I don't know why they did, but it's now either questionable or doubtful. All right, let me update you again on some scores that affect both leagues for the wild card. The Orioles have gone ahead of the Yankees 3-1 in the top of the fifth. The Red Sox lead the Blue Jays 1-0, and the Tigers are ahead of the Braves 4-0. That game's in the third. National League, the Mets are batting in the sixth at Philly, and they lead by the score of 2-1. Meanwhile, at the end of one, the Pirates and Cardinals are scoreless as they go to the top of the second. So that gets you caught up on your baseball scores. And again, we will run them all down for you as soon as there's a change in any of the scores. The Giants tonight, game one of a three-game set. It'll be very interesting to see how Dave Roberts manages this series. If the Nationals win their game that is going on currently, it's now delayed. The game is delayed, but the Dodgers are two back of the Nationals for best record outside of the Cubs, meaning home field in that series. And again, they have rain currently all up and down the East Coast. All right, let's get to Jim. You're on with Grant Napier. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Grant.
Good. What's up, Jim?
You know, I got a question for you about the Raiders. Yeah. I was talking to some friends of mine who live in Vegas, and if the Raiders were to move and actually play in Vegas, do you actually see them still playing on Sundays, or do you think they'd move to Friday night to get a larger crowd?
Are you, like, serious, or are you trying to be funny, or, like, is this...
No. Here's why I ask you this question.
Jim.
Yeah.
The National Football League dictates when you play. Not the teams. Do you see any NFL games being played on Friday nights, Jim?
No, that's why I'm asking you. This would be like, remember Thursday night football seemed to me to come
Jim,
out of nowhere
Jim,
also.
Jim, the National Football League dictates when the games are played. They're played on Sundays, they're played on Monday nights, and Thursday nights. There are no games on Fridays, Jim.
Right, Grant, but I'm asking you, if they were to move, do you see that becoming a possibility?
Why would they be playing on Fridays, Jim? What would be the purpose of that, Jim?
To attract a sold-out audience.
Really? Like, you wouldn't have a sold-out audience in Vegas if you played on Sunday, Jim?
Well, you know, normally when I go to Vegas, I'm usually there from, let's say, Thursday to Sunday or Friday to Sunday, but usually home about 12 or 1.
Really? Well, I got some news for you, Jim. Next time you go to Vegas, if you really want to go and you're a Raiders fan and you want to stay for the game, you'll probably fly home Sunday night, Jim. You'll probably take a later flight so you can go to the game that starts at 1 in the afternoon. What do you think about that?
Well, Grant, I think it's possible.
Yeah, I think it's real possible, considering they got flights every 90 minutes going from Las Vegas to the Bay Area and to Sacramento. I think it's real possible.
Sure it is. Agreed. And I also think Friday night football is a possibility.
Really? Oh, well, you know what? There's a better possibility that you'll be seeing a game on Mars before the Raiders play on a Friday night. Good Lord. All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Jim, I got a better idea. Don't even go to the games, all right? Because I don't want to inconvenience you by going to a game that may end at 3 or 4 in the afternoon on a Sunday, and you have to take a 7 o'clock flight that lands at 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening. I don't want to inconvenience you on that. Or maybe you're driving. Maybe you'll drive home. That way you can just leave anytime you want. You don't have to be dependent on the Southwest Airlines schedule. Good Lord. How about that? Will the Raiders play on Friday night? Yeah, that's right. They're going to play on Friday night. Well, Jim, why would they do that for? Well, you know, I know when I go to Vegas, you know, I normally get there on Thursday, and, you know, I'm normally leaving like Sunday morning, and so I was thinking, that's right, Jim. The National Football League is going to do this just to accommodate you and your trip to Las Vegas so that you don't have to stay later in the day on Sunday. I get it all. That's what the Grant Napier show's all about. I get it all. I hear it all. That's why I'm coming to work every day for 21 years, so I can deal with people like Jim. People say, hey, Grant, you know, what's your blood pressure when you get calls like that? You know what? I've been doing this for such a long time, it doesn't faze me. It doesn't faze me at all. I'll go out with my wife tonight. Hey, Grant, how do you deal with some of those callers on your show? Ah, it's no problem. I'm used to it. I'm an expert in dealing with calls like that. Hey, Grant, I don't know how you deal with some of those calls on your show. Ah, you know what? It's no problem. I deal with it all the time. No sweat. Gosh, I'm friends with Carmichael Dave, all right? Are you kidding me? I mean, I deal with him, right? I can certainly deal with those calls. It's no problem. No problem at all. Let's see, what time is it? 5:40, which means I get off in about 50 minutes. Who's counting now? No, actually, you know what? It's just amazing what people think of. It really is. It's mind-boggling. It really is. Absolutely mind-boggling, the things that people think of. And that's just one more example. All right, the Baltimore Orioles have just hit a two-run homer, and they lead by the score 5-1. That ball game is now in the top of the fifth, and they're now going to the bottom of the sixth in Philly. And the Mets are leading by the score of 2-1 there. Still no score in the top of the second, although the Pirates have runners on the corners and one out. Runners on the corners and one out for Pittsburgh playing in St. Louis. By the way, St. Louis, they are pathetic at home this year. Do you know that they are 35-43 on the road? Or excuse me, at home? Think about that. 35-43, their home record. They'd be better off playing on the road every game. Or you know what? Maybe they could call up Major League Baseball and have their games played in Las Vegas on Friday nights. Maybe that would work. Friday night lights for the St. Louis Cardinals. Maybe that would help out their home record. Just relocate to Las Vegas. By the way, the Dodgers tonight and the Giants, Rich Hill, Madison Bumgarner. Hill has not looked good in his last couple starts. The real interest here is what will Dave Roberts do with his starting pitching. How long, what will the pitch count be on the guys this weekend as they get ready to take on the Nationals in the first round of the playoffs? Wild card up for grabs. Again, they are playing the games. It's raining in Boston, they're playing. It's raining in New York, they're playing. Boston does lead 1-0 as the wild card race in the American League is unbelievably interesting. What a scenario that could unfold the way things look right now. And it could be a nightmare in terms of scheduling for baseball. I'll tell you one thing. If you've got the best record in the American League and you're looking at everything that could possibly happen, all right, and you're the Texas Rangers with 94 wins, and it looks like you're going to have the number one seed in the American League, boy, you're loving what is transpiring. This could be perfect for you. Absolutely perfect. All right, we'll come right back. The Grant Napier Show continuing on Sports 1140 KHTK. Always good to be with you here on Sports 1140 KHTK. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140 if you want to text the show. 44-1140. Giants and Dodgers, they're going to be starting in about an hour and a half. And if you're San Francisco, just make sure you win two of these games. I don't think it's a big deal whether you open up in New York or you open up at home. As a matter of fact, the way the Giants are, you might be better off opening up on the road. I mean, here's the deal. If you win, you're going to Chicago anyway. So, you know, if you go and win in New York, so what? You're going to Chicago. It's less than a two-hour flight. It's not a big deal. You're going to have to go to that side of the country anyway. You might as well go and play the Mets. I don't think that, you know, home. It's all pitching. And, you know, if you're looking at this from the, you know, Mets perspective, they got Syndergaard scheduled to go on Sunday. I don't think he's going to pitch on Sunday. I just don't. Now, right now, the Mets are leading by the score of 2-1. Obviously, the way these games play out will determine whether or not they're going to play. Pittsburgh had runners on the corners and one out. They don't score. So that ball game is now in the bottom of the second, and they are still scoreless in St. Louis, Pirates and Cardinals. All right? Anything else that happens that you need to know about, we'll let you know. Baltimore has now increased their lead to 8-1, and Boston is leading Toronto 1-0, and Detroit on top of Atlanta 4-0 in the fourth. Let's get to Mitch. Hello, Mitch. Welcome to the Grant Napier Show.
Real quick, I just wanted to know, how many games do the Niners have to lose before we say, well, better luck next year?
Probably one more. Like, I really mean that. If they lose this week to the Dallas Cowboys with all of their injuries, then I think you're probably talking about next year already, because I don't see this team, and I'm trying to look at their schedule, and one thing that's dangerous to do in the NFL is try to look too far ahead, because, you know, injuries can change everything. But if you can't beat the Cowboys without all of the key players that are playing, then you go to Arizona. Then you have Arizona on a short week. Now, I'm not a big fan of Arizona, but I don't think they win then. Then they go to Buffalo. Then they're home against Tampa. I mean, if they lose this week and they're 1-3, I think you can start talking about next year. I really do.
That's what I wanted to hear, Grant. Thank you, brother.
Because if you lose to Dallas, you're going to lose to Arizona, and then you're 1-4, and then you're going to lose at Buffalo, you're 1-5, and then it's sayonara. So, I mean, I'm sorry if you disagree, but first of all, I think they have a good chance of winning. That's what I think. I think that they have a good chance of winning this week against the Cowboys without Dez Bryant. I mean, and especially without Smith at left tackle. And, I mean, if you can't beat the Dallas Cowboys with all of these injuries, then who can you beat, right? And then you look at the end of this year. Jets at home, at Atlanta, at the Rams, home Seattle. You still have to play New England. Brutal. If you don't beat the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday, I don't think you win two more games. I really don't. And then you're going to have a quarterback controversy, and then you're going to have the Kaepernick fiasco, and then Gabbert. It's going to be awful. It would be a brutal, brutal year. It would be a brutal year. So this game keeps you alive. You go 2-2 with the way the division is, fine. Then all of a sudden you got a big divisional game coming up against Arizona. So if you're a 49ers fan, yeah, there's a lot on the line this week at home against the Dallas Cowboys. If you want to talk about that, I'm still looking for the lock of the week. The upset of the week, give me your picks, as the Raiders are in Baltimore. And, you know, Baltimore is banged up on their offensive line too. I'm thinking when you look at Baltimore, you know, without Stanley there, and they're shuffling their line, it's a good opportunity for the Raiders to go in there and get this victory. Again, the weekend begins on Sunday early, 6:30 Pacific, with Indy at Jacksonville. And then the other good games this week, I think Seattle at the Jets is an interesting game. I think Carolina at Atlanta. This is almost, I don't want to say completely, this is almost a must-win for the Carolina Panthers, who are 1-2. Huge game. We're going to find out a lot more about the Rams. They're 2-1 at 1-2 Arizona. Huge game at home for Arizona already. And then Kansas City at Pittsburgh. You know, will Pittsburgh on Sunday night bounce back from that embarrassing loss that they had in Philadelphia? And make no mistake about it, that was an embarrassing loss. So think about all of this. Think about how big some of these games are this week. And for the San Francisco 49ers, this game is absolutely huge. You win, you're right back, and you're feeling good, and you lose. And I think you just spiral downward and out of control. They're now going to the 7th in Philadelphia, and the Mets are leading by the score of 2-1. St. Louis does not score in the bottom of the second. They're going to the 3rd. At Busch Stadium. Now, we talk a lot about the National League and what the Giants have to do, but when you look at the wild card, man, in the American League, you kind of get the feeling they're going to be playing on Monday, don't you? You know, you look at Baltimore, they're winning tonight. They're going to win. They're going to go to 88-72. Blue Jays are leading, or excuse me, the Red Sox are leading the Blue Jays in the bottom of the fourth. And Detroit is winning. So if Detroit beats Atlanta, all right, and Toronto loses, the Orioles will be your top wild card, and Detroit and Toronto would be tied with 73 losses. And it's just unbelievable to me how close this thing looks. Now, Detroit, in all likelihood, is going to have to play that makeup game on Monday against Cleveland. This thing is, there's going to be a lot of baseball played next week. I can promise you that. There's going to be a lot of baseball played. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Russell. Hello, Russell. How are you?
I'm great, Grant. Good afternoon. Last week, you and I spoke, and I think we both concurred about we felt good about Carolina winning last week. So that was my lock, and they obviously got upset. But my upset of last week was I called and I picked the Rams in Tampa Bay, and you said, yeah, that would be an upset. And lo and behold, they found a way to pull that off. So I was pretty happy since I'm a Rams fan. But
I'm surprised that I'm shocked that the Rams are playing the way they are. I mean, after watching them play opening night against San Francisco, yeah. I didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah, likewise. But, you know, they are what they are. They just don't have a great offense. But if they can find a way to, you know, make things happen defensively, and they've got a nice turnover, you know, defense tends to win, but they pulled it out. I don't see the Rams winning this week, so
I don't either.
My lock is definitely Arizona at home, and my upset is the Bills on the road in New England.
All right. Hey, Russell, thank you very much for the call.
All right, Brent.
All right, the Mets just get a solo shot in the seventh, and they now lead Philadelphia by the score of 3-1. You just kind of get the feeling that the Mets are in, they're one of the wild cards. It's going to come down to San Francisco and St. Louis. I just get the feeling we're going to be looking at the Giants on the road for the wild card game in New York against the Mets, with Syndergaard going against Bumgarner, and one run may very well be the difference in that game. I don't think there's any doubt. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Somebody says, Grant, can you tell the Kings to not have games from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. so I don't hit traffic? Thanks. I'll do that for you. Just for you, I will do that. So, Grant, is Jim saying that all home games for the Raiders will be on Fridays? Idiot. Grant, I tried writing a letter to Roger Goodell to move the games to Tuesday afternoon since I get off early. You know what? That's a great idea. I like that. See, now that makes sense to me. All right, when we come back, I'll give you my picks for week four. I got off to a good start last night by picking Cincinnati. I'll do that when we return right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.